Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see how you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight it's my pleasure to welcome back Jim Phillips. He's a gifted speaker, author, seminar leader, and certified life, spiritual, and business coach. For the better part of 30 years, he's been an entrepreneur and business leader, inspiring others to higher levels of achievement through his presentations and seminars throughout the United States and parts of Europe. His true passion, however, is the exploration and application of spiritual law as it applies to prosperity and the overall quality of life. One of Jim's gifts is his ability to help others understand and apply complex spiritual concepts to their personal lives. This has led to the development of his Life Coaching Program, which is an acronym for Living in Full Expression. In addition to coaching and speaking, Jim has written two books, The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression, and From Inspiration to Intention. Both his books speak to the desire within each of us to better understand and experience who we truly are and what we are here to do. Never has there been a time in the history of humanity when there have been more people open and receptive to this message. Jim graduated from James Madison University with a degree in business administration and management. And with that said, let me welcome you, Jim.
How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you very much.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you here again. I really enjoyed our last show, and we had a lot of people listen to it, and so I certainly wanted to have you back. You know, I'm wondering what you believe we're truly here to experience and what our mission is to do, as both as an individual and as a collective consciousness.
Well, we're just going to jump right into the deep end, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I'm going to say that I think I have a little bit of a different take on life than a lot of other folks that I've spoken with and that I've read, although in the end we all end up at the same place having gone through the same process, not the same experience, because that's what we're each here to do, is have our own experience of who we are in the form that we've taken, me being Jim Phillips, you being David Clark, and then anyone else, whoever they might be. Now, that isn't to say that I am my name, because I'm not. I am the being within this physical body that's having this experience here on Earth. But I believe that our purpose for being here is to live in full expression of that spiritual being that we are, and to allow it to express itself in whatever form it decides to take. And that's through all of the different experiences that we create and that we allow and that we essentially have while we're here in the earth plane. And I use the word allow intentionally because that's the challenge. It's really about the personality, the more conscious, let me think if I can say this differently, the more conscious part of us that we're aware of, the physical body part of us, the mind that we know we are, getting out of the way and allowing the true self, the spiritual being within this physical body, express itself as fully and completely as possible. Partly the reason that we're here is for the integration of the two. It's to allow the two to work in conjunction with one another, to have a more full, more complete experience of being here on the earth plane. Now, when I speak on this, people always say, well, what is my life's purpose? And there's a difference to me between your life's purpose and the purpose of life. Purpose of life is for us to live here in full expression of who we truly are. Our life's purpose is how we choose to do that. And it, and it can be anything. You know, some people will say, well, I'm waiting for my calling, and they expect it to be some grand event or some really grand purpose that they might have, and yet that's not the way it works for most people. Most of us don't have that great opportunity to be a famous scientist and create something that perhaps might cure a major disease, or most of us are not going to grow up to be the president or to do anything that we might think of that's a really grand existence. Most of us are here to live our lives the way that we live it on a daily basis. And what I think we're here to gain an understanding of is that everything we do has an impact on everyone around us, and certainly on the planet itself, but on everyone around us. And when you look at it from that perspective, that we are influencing and are, in fact, influenced by all the people that are around us, that is a very significant and a very grand way of living, because we are impacting other people through who we are being. And it doesn't have to be played out on a big stage. Now, anybody can choose to express in whatever form they want. They can be a teacher. They can be a speaker. They can be an author. They can be a musician, an artist. They can be whatever they want. It's being the best version of yourself while you're in that role, if you will, that allows for the grandest expression of who we truly are.
Well, that's saying a lot, and I'd like to try to get into some of the different aspects of what you were talking about. One of the most important things I think that you talked about was awareness. And we did talk a lot about that the last time, but I think it's an important place to start, because many people do not have a sense of conscious life expression because they seem to go through life on automatic pilot and are unaware of the thoughts that control their behaviors instead of taking charge of those thoughts, taking charge of those behaviors, and moving forward in a positive direction. What would you say about that?
Well, I think awareness is the key to all of this. It's becoming aware of ourselves as being a spiritual being. It's becoming aware of the thoughts and beliefs we hold and the impact that it has on the life experiences that we have. In fact, not even the impact, but the creation of the life experiences that we have. And when we recognize how powerful we truly are through that awareness, then ideally we start to make decisions based on what we truly want to have as our life experiences, as opposed to reacting to what shows up. And when we recognize that we can create and experience truly anything, and I mean that in every sense of the word, anything that we want to experience, we can experience. But it's a matter of allowing ourselves that opportunity to do so and accepting the fact that we have the power to do so. We also need to become aware. Go ahead.
No, you continue, please.
No, I was going to say it also is just becoming aware of all the things that are happening around us. And once we start to pay attention to that, we realize that there's so many more opportunities for us than we're aware of. We get so caught up in reacting, I guess is the best way to say it, reacting to what's going on, that we're not aware of what else is available to us. And we get, one of the things I do when I'm doing a workshop, and I'll have people actually demonstrate this, and I think this will be able to be demonstrated here on the show, is that when we talk about being focused on something, and the terms that are used now is like laser focused. You want to be laser focused on something, and if you're laser focused on something, you have a greater opportunity to accomplish it because you're not allowing any distractions to get in. So I'll ask people who are in attendance at a workshop, okay, well, demonstrate laser focus to me. And typically what people will do, they'll put their hands up by the side of their head, and they'll come away in front of themselves, and they'll be bringing their hands closer together as they move away from their head. And I say, okay, well, put your hands back where you first started, next to the side of your head, if that's where they started. And they do that. And I said, what is that? And they said, well, it's like blinders on a horse. I said, that's exactly right. I said, so when we become laser focused, we're basically blinding ourselves to all the other stuff that might be available to us that can actually create a much better experience than the one we're trying to create with this laser focusedness, if you will. Mm. And that kind of opens people. It's like an aha moment. It's like, oh, so what I suggest people do is to not have tunnel vision, which is what that is, but I use the term funnel vision, where it's more like a funnel. You expand that area outside of your head. If you're using that as the example with using blinders, you open it up, you allow more information in, you don't block it. There isn't anything that would keep anything coming in, but you allow it to come in, and then it funnels down so that what you're ending up with through discernment, and that, again, is awareness, be aware of what you're deciding, be aware of what you need to accomplish or achieve or experience whatever it is you're trying to experience, and you allow that to come in so that your focus isn't so narrow. It's much broader, and you're allowing more information to come in. Well, then people say, well, don't you get distracted by that, or isn't it too much information? Well, that's where discernment comes in. And once you allow that information to come in that way, and you start to operate in this way, you find that your brain will operate with you on your behalf. We have a part of the brain called the reticular activating system, which basically allows in the information that's best suited for whatever it is we're trying to accomplish. And you just allow it all to work together. And I find that certainly in my own experience, I achieve what I'm trying to achieve much more quickly, and usually I achieve much more than I thought I was going to.
So it's really a matter of expanding your vision and changing your paradigm. If you find yourself locked into a particular way of thinking that's not working for you,
it's that. It's also letting go of any limiting belief that we would hold that whatever it is we desire to experience is not possible. If we believe that everything is possible, then that removes a lot of stuff. And here's the challenge, though. People will say, well, that's not possible. Well, if that's going to be their thought about it, then it probably isn't possible for them. But it doesn't mean it's not possible. It just means it's not going to be possible for them because they don't hold the belief that it's possible. And yet a lot of the things that we say are not possible, we really have no experience with, and there really isn't any evidence to say that it's not possible. It might be that it hasn't been demonstrated to us yet, or we haven't had the experience personally yet, and because of that we're saying, well, because I haven't seen it or haven't tasted it or haven't read about it, then it's probably not possible. Well, I would disagree, and I would say that to me that's more evidence that it's possible. It just hasn't been achieved yet or hasn't been experienced yet. And as soon as we allow for the possibility of something, we create the potential for it to be.
And, well, that would require somebody to be more solution-oriented than problem-focused, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not even going to – I don't even know that I would use the word solution. I just think it's being open to the possibility of absolutely everything.
Okay.
Because it's not even – a solution to me is – the other end of a problem. You have an issue or something you're trying to solve or overcome, so you need a solution to it. What I'm talking about is a possibility of just creating and experiencing anything that I want. There isn't an issue there. It's just,
okay,
it's, how do I want to live my life? What are the life experiences that I want to have? And if I become aware of where my thoughts are holding me back, then... And again, that's just getting to the whole idea of awareness. If I can become aware of where I'm holding myself back and say, well, I'm limiting myself in my thinking because I'm really not thinking in terms of this particular experience that I want to have being possible. And yet there's no proof that it isn't possible. So let's just let that go and allow for the possibility of it. And let's just see what happens.
Well, I'm wondering what you would say about resistance, because to me that's the opposite of allowing. And a lot of people, perhaps due to limited thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs, get stuck in that area whereby they aren't able to let go and open themselves to the different possibilities that are out there.
Right. Without question, that's a huge problem with most people, and that is resisting the the resistance has to do with fear, and you have to look at and question yourself, well, why am I resisting this? What is it within this, within these thoughts or beliefs that I'm having that is preventing me from allowing myself to have this experience? Where is that resistance coming from? And a lot of times you can boil it down to just basic fear. It's fear of, I actually just wrote about this recently, it's fear about losing what we already have if we were to try to expand and move into something else. Oh my God, if I do this, then I'm going to lose what I already have. And that's not the case. The truth of that is that what you will leave behind are the things that no longer serve you. Whatever still serves you in full expression of the truth of who you are will always move with you. So we have to let go of that fear of losing everything we have. You don't. It's just what no longer serves you falls away. It's no longer there. And that can include people. It can include jobs. It can include anything. And so if we can understand that we're always moving into a greater expression of who we are, a greater opportunity, greater potential. Now, with that is going to be challenge. There always is. And we need to understand that. Just because we're moving into a fuller expression of who we are doesn't mean the road is easy. It just means that we are allowing ourselves to have a greater experience of the truth of who we are, which means exercising our power, quite frankly. And what better way to exercise our power than to be confronted with a challenge that allows us to show to ourselves, and certainly to those who would be witness to it, what we're all capable of doing. And it wouldn't be me showing you what I'm capable of doing. I would be showing myself what I'm capable of doing. You'd be witnessing it, but I would be an example to you of what you're capable of doing.
Right. Well, it seems that another fear that a lot of people manifest is fear of success, a fear that they maybe it's a two-edged sword, the fear of success versus the fear of failure related to self-esteem issues, like I'm not deserving of success, or I'm not sure what I'm trying to say here, but
what you're saying, it's exactly right. Those are the core limiting beliefs that we hold, or the core fears that we have. I'm not good enough. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not deserving enough. All of these things that come up for us, and they're just excuses, quite frankly, of why we don't allow ourselves to have a greater experience of ourselves. And the fear of success that you're talking about is twofold, I think. It's one, once I achieve this, how am I gonna top it? How am I gonna be able to do better than this if I really reach the peak of what I'm capable of doing? In our minds, the peak of what we're able to do, because I don't believe there is any peak. But we get to a point, we say, oh, this is the best I'll ever do, and so we limit ourselves through that thinking as well. But it's that fear of what do I do when I get there? And then, or how do I top this? And then the second part of it is, how do I maintain it? The fear of having achieved that and being recognized for it, and then now being measured against it. I heard something, and this I thought was a really good example of what I'm saying. It was a conversation. It was about Michael Jackson. And the fact when Thriller came out, which I think it still is the greatest selling album of all times, which was just a phenomenal hit. Every song on it probably, I think, reached the top number one in all the different categories. And that from that point forward, his whole career was about chasing the same degree of success that he had from Thriller. And the fact of the matter is, we will have something in our lives that we will do that will be the pinnacle of success. We hit it. And instead of embracing that and accepting it and acknowledging it, we then start to fight it and feel that we have to constantly do better than that. And in some cases, it's just not going to happen. When you do something as incredible, using that as the example, And then you're fighting against that. And then you're going to have self-doubt, because then your doubts, oh, my God, how am I going to sell 100 more million albums of this next one? And, of course, the next ones that came out were not as good. And so then self-doubt creeps in. And then I don't want to say it's a downward spiral from there, but it becomes more difficult. And I think that's what happens to all of us, is we have this fear of, well, if I reach this, what am I going to do? And I think it's subconscious. I don't think it's a conscious thing we're thinking about, because we want to have that level of success. But I think subconsciously we have that fear of, well, who am I to do this, number one? A lot of times, and I ran into this when I was writing my book, and I know you write, so you probably ran into this as well, and that is, who am I to think I have something important enough to say that somebody's going to buy my book? And you struggle with it. And it's a difficult thing to overcome, but that's part of the mastery of life, is recognizing that those opportunities are presented to us so that when we have that inspiration, we can expand beyond the limits of those thoughts and beliefs we hold about ourselves, so that others hold about us. And it's not about proving anybody right or wrong. It's about honoring and answering the call. If you have something that you're inspired to do, and this is one of the quotes in my book, we wouldn't be inspired to do something if it wasn't intended to be. And I believe that with all of my heart. So anytime I have an inspiration to do something, I honor it and I respect it and I do everything I possibly can to give it life. And I do it with as much openness as I possibly can. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't have limiting beliefs and doubts that show up. They do. I look at them a little bit differently now, because I don't look at them as, this is something to hold me back. I look at them now as, this is something giving me the opportunity to move forward, because I've already done this before. And they're just showing me that my thoughts are a little bit off track. So I thank them for showing up, and then I get back on my inspirational path, if you will, and continue doing whatever it is that I was inspired to do. And that's the process that I use now anyway.
Sounds like an effective one to me. I use a similar one myself. I'm wondering what you would suggest to people to be able to move through the struggle and recognize perhaps that it's simply a challenge that they need to overcome.
Yeah, I think the key there is to recognize that, there's two things. One, I would suggest, don't look at it as a struggle. Don't label it a struggle. Look at it as an opportunity. And I know that's a huge paradigm shift for a lot of people, because struggle implies difficulty and challenge and hardship and all of these things. Well, anything worth achieving is going to have all of those same things, but yet we look at it in a positive vein. We don't look at it as being something thrown at us to hold us back. We look at it as, okay, this is just part of the process of me obtaining or achieving or experiencing whatever it is that I'm moving towards. But when we see something that shows up in our lives that just appears to be an obstacle or a struggle or a challenge, we tend to look at it as that's all it is, instead of looking at, well, this showed up for a reason. What is this for? As I move through this, what is this going to help me experience and express? And primarily it's about learning about ourselves within the context of the event that's taking place, the event being the struggle or the circumstances that we might find ourselves in. So I think when we can shift our thought from it being something to hold me back to, this is the opportunity that I've been looking for to move me forward, if you will, or to expand into a greater expression of who I am, which is then going to open me up to do even more of what I want to do, because now I become more aware of how powerful I am. If we can just shift our thought to that, I think that is enormous in terms of what people will be able to create and experience in their lives. Now, here's the funny thing about that. We're doing it anyway. Whether we recognize it as an opportunity or not, as we move through these difficult times, it's still doing the same thing. It's a little bit easier to do it when you know that you're doing it as a benefit than you're doing it as it being something put in front of you to hold you back. It's the same experience. You shouldn't say that, because the experience is how you perceive it as you're going through it. The event is the same. Your experience of it is different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to get back to a couple of things that you were talking about earlier, just to get a little more clarification. One of them had to do with the possibility of getting to realize a degree of success that you're searching for, and then wondering where you would go from there. What can a person do to stay more present to the moment and just to allow their life to unfold without all the what-if sort of projections?
Well, I'm going to get back to one of the questions you asked earlier, and that was about awareness. It's being aware of where your thoughts are. Are you thinking about the past? And if you're thinking about the past, you're not in the present. If you're thinking about the future, then you're not in the present. You're not paying attention to what's going on within you and around you right here and right now in this moment.
Right.
And I think kind of a funny way to look at this, but it's the truth, and that is the only moment we can do anything about anything is this moment right here. We can't do something about yesterday. We can't do anything today about – let me think about this. We can't do anything yesterday, and we can't do anything tomorrow because – yesterday is no longer here, and tomorrow never exists. It's going to always be a day away, no matter what we want to do. And so if we pay attention to our thoughts and our actions and our beliefs and anything that we're trying to experience and do it now, then that's where we're going to have the greatest impact on our tomorrows, because what we choose to do today is going to impact where we are the next day or the next moment, for that matter. So I think it's a matter of when we recognize that we're not paying attention to what's going on right now, we bring ourselves back to the moment, and we start making conscious decisions.
Okay, that's very helpful. I thank you for that clarification. I was thinking that there might be some people out there that would need a little bit more. The other thing is the situation.
Well, let me just ask you a question. Do you think that was enough, or do you think there needs to be further elaboration on that? Because here's what a lot of people are surprised by when I talk to them, and that is I think that a lot of people expect there to be some real complex method or system or formula that we have to work through to change the way our lives are, and it's not. The complex stuff is what's creating the situations we find ourselves in now.
Right.
The simple stuff is what really gets rid of it all.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I think that the common sense approach to life is the road to easier living, and we can complicate things so easily through our egos, and that's why we need to go to the core of ourselves and take a look at how we're feeling about certain situations, and if we're feeling uncomfortable, dig a little bit deeper to find out what that's about, how that might be preventing us from moving forward.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yep, definitely.
What about
true.
The situation you talked about with using Michael Jackson as an example of coming to a pinnacle at an early point in one's life, and how can a person avoid falling into the trap of, oh, my God, how am I going to top this one?
When I figure that out, I'll let you know.
Okay.
I think it's a matter of – here's what I think about life. And this is what helped me a great bit. And since this is coming up for me right now, I think this is the answer to your question. I've gotten to the point now where I truly look at everything that happens to my life as nothing more than, and I'm using that term not to diminish the significance of whatever takes place, but I use it because it is nothing more than what it is. And what I'm trying to say is that everything that happens in anyone's life, regardless of whether we label it good, bad, significant or not, it's an event, and it's an experience of our life. That's all
right.
It is. It's one of our life experiences. So if I have an experience of writing a top number one bestseller New York Times book, That's an experience of my life. That doesn't define who I am. Now, a lot of people might think that it defines who I am and that that's all I'm about. But it was an experience I had. It was the experience of writing the book. It was the experience of seeing it being sold and embraced by enough people that it became a New York Times bestseller. But that isn't who I am. And so if we recognize that everything that happens in life is nothing more than an experience, then we know that the next thing that happens is, again, another experience. And if we recognize that the purpose of life is to have as many varied experiences of ourselves that we possibly can, then we're always looking for the next experience. And ideally, embracing that experience and looking for the richness of it, looking for where we are gaining something about ourselves that we didn't have before the experience, regardless of the significance of the event. Because, it doesn't have to be... I can tell you this. I had a situation happen one time, and this is also detailed in my book, where I had a woman come up to me who had heard me speak, and this was right after I had finished the presentation, and she walked up to me and told me that she had heard me speak 2 years earlier. And she said, "What you said saved my daughter's life." And she turned around and walked away. And as I've written in the book, I don't know who this woman was. I don't know what it was that I said that could have possibly changed the situation that her daughter was in, or how it could possibly have saved her life. I don't think it's going to get much better than that for me to have that kind of feeling that I got from this woman telling me that something that I said saved somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you look at big events and big things that could happen, this probably pales in comparison. However, how does it compare to that mother, and how does it compare to that daughter? Does it matter that somebody else wrote a New York Times bestseller-selling book, or does it matter that I, Jim Phillips, said something that somehow, some way, might have saved the daughter's life?
Good point.
We've got to be careful. Yeah, we've got to be careful not to make these comparisons about what we've already done to things that we're in the process of doing or might do in the future, because that's no different in my thinking than me comparing myself to somebody who's had this life that appears on the surface as being absolutely incredible. Because what that other person does doesn't matter. And for me to compare myself to that person doesn't make any sense, because if I were to have the experience that person had, I would be that person. I'm here to have my experiences, whatever they are, however they unfold, that's for me. It's for my own unique life and my own unique experience, and more precisely, my unique expression of who I am, which is done in the context of all of these events, challenging, successful, gratifying, joyful, sad, all of the emotions that we have, all of those things that are within the events that I have in my life, or for me to allow for the full expression and experience of who I am.
Well, that frees us from judgment when we can do that and get out of the comparison trap, or attaching ourselves to, or investing ourselves in something and defining ourselves by something that's exterior to ourselves, instead of recognizing that it's just another experience to be savored. Of course, not every experience feels good. And sometimes we make mistakes along the way and have what we perceive as failures. What would you like to say about those?
Well, even the word mistake is a word that I don't know that, again, I look at everything as being an experience. So if I do something that is against the norm, or I do something that maybe society thinks would be something breaking the law, and they say, "Well, you made this mistake, and therefore you're going to be punished for it." Okay, maybe when you look at it in that context, and we're putting a label on it, we can say, "Well, yeah, that probably wasn't the best thing to do." But what if that experience was intended for me, so that I could have that experience to better know myself within the context of it? And maybe I needed that particular event to take place and have that experience for me to become who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that without it, I wouldn't have as great an understanding of who I am and what I'm capable of doing. So to me, it's not a mistake. again, we can label it as that because it might not be what we would consider to be perhaps the right thing to do, or maybe it isn't what society would expect. But we can't say that it's a mistake if it's what allows that particular person, or more precisely, that particular soul, to gain the experience that's necessary for it to grow and expand into who it is now.
Well, thank you for correcting me on that, because that is a trap that I've sometimes fallen into, and I was really thinking along the lines of a perceived mistake, because you're absolutely right. When you talk about a mistake, again, you're applying a judgment to something that's just an experience, an opportunity to learn a lesson, and perhaps recognize that that wasn't what served ultimately served the interest that you were looking for, but in the long run, it was a good thing. I think it's important, don't you, to embrace everything that has happened in our life, the totality of it, those perceived mistakes, those successes, or things that we might judge as successes, to all be blessings, that we can learn lessons from them and move on and continue to climb the mountain.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing is we use the term blessing in disguise. I'm not going to say every time we have a difficult situation and we move through it, but certainly more often than not, that's how we refer to those times. We usually say, I wouldn't want to go through it again, but it actually was a blessing in disguise, because it allowed me to be who I am today. And perhaps without the experience, I wouldn't be. And that is absolutely true. Now, the ideal situation would be, as we're going through the experience, recognize it as a blessing in disguise, or recognize it as a blessing, and move through it with that understanding, becoming more aware of where the possibility lies, or the potential for gain lies, and then move through it, I think, much more quickly. Again, it doesn't mean it's not going to have pain. It doesn't mean there's not going to be any pain associated with it. It could very well be, but that could also be the experience you're intended to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have a caller on the line. Let's take a call, and then we can come back and talk a little bit about your book again.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Hi, David. This is Deanna.
Hello,
how
is this Deanna?
Yes, it is. Happy
How
New Year.
How are you
to
tonight,
you.
Deanna?
Good. I just tuned in about 7-8 minutes ago, and I was listening to your guest, and even wrote down what he said about the experience. And right now, my experience is not just, you know, health issues, but being without money. So that's what I wrote down. It's an event. It's an experience of being without money. It's just an experience and nothing more. It's not who I am. So I'm applying it. I really like what he said. I like the roundness of his voice. He sounds to be saying the truth.
Well, why don't you ask him a question, or tell him about your situation, and he might have some suggestions for you. That's his business.
I'll try to do that. I'll try to summarize it. Yes. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in, and certainly appreciate you listening to the show.
I did look at the show title, but I don't remember your name right now. I'm embarrassed to say that, but I do like what you're saying.
Thank you. My name
is
John Phillips.
Yeah.
Sorry? Both of you spoke.
Yeah, he was introducing himself. This is Jim Phillips.
Jim Phillips. I worked with another Jim Phillips once. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you.
You sound very well. I've been going through 7.5 years of issues because of something that happened, something wrongful that was done to me. And it's really put me in a hazardous, dangerous situation, and it has affected my work. And right now I find myself without funds to go from month to month. And I was very proud of what I did for work. And while I still have a contract to work for the federal courts, I'm not being called. Even though no wrongdoing was ever, you know, was ever proven or not, none happened.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. What is it you would ideally like to be doing?
I'd like to be interpreting back in court.
Okay. I'm just to get some clarification. When you say interpreting, what does that mean that you do in court?
In English and Spanish.
Okay. Where else can you apply this same skill?
That's not my objective.
No.
Let me just
I'm going to just speak really in more in general terms, because what I find is I do a lot of coaching, life coaching for people, and we talk about a lot of job challenges and life purpose and things like that. And a lot of times what I find is that when someone gets to a point where what it is that they've been doing is no longer available to them, it's an opportunity to look outside of that and see what else is available to you that might be where you're intended to be. So that's why I ask, where else could you apply this skill that you have? I'm not suggesting that that's what you need to do, but it's a matter of expanding your awareness to see what else might be available to you. And
okay, if I had the means, I would. What I would like to do is what I did before, partially, and that is interpret at conferences, at conventions, where two people sit in the back and, you know, with the equipment, talk to the audience that cannot understand that one language.
Okay. And what is preventing you from doing that?
Right now, funding,
okay.
And believing in myself.
All right. So can I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'm sure there are people in this world who have started doing what you want to do that had absolutely no money. Don't allow your thought that you need to have funding get in the way of you attracting the situation to yourself. And I'm not telling you I know how it's going to happen. I'm just telling you that if you can let go of the reason why you think it's not happening and open yourself to the possibility that it will happen, that you're going to find those situations coming to you.
Right.
It's a shift in thought. And I'm not going to say it's going to happen automatically, but as you find yourself thinking about this limit or this reason why you can't do what you want to do, just shift it and say, that's not true. This is possible for me. I don't have to have this funding to make this happen. All I have to have is the willingness and the belief that it's possible for me.
What you're saying pretty much is what I heard another person I've listened to for, I don't know, 6 years, say in a podcast, disconnect yourself from certain morphic fields or group consciousness areas.
Certainly group consciousness, but this is even more specific to you. This is your thought. Unless you've had other people tell you can't do it unless you have money, then you've bought into that. But the whole idea is that, you know, here's the other part of it. You also said that you would like to be sitting in the back of conferences and be doing the interpreting. What if there's a better way of you utilizing your skills, and it's not just in conferences like that? What if it's, I'm going to throw out something crazy. What if it's the UN? I mean, we don't know, but yet we shut ourselves off from the possibility of it by having these thoughts of this is not possible, or this is not possible for me, or I don't have enough funds to do it, or I'm not skilled enough, or nobody will know where to find me. But when we open ourselves to the possibility that it is possible, and we allow that energy, if you will, to come out from us, we create and attract to ourselves all kinds of situations that we never dreamed of. And then you're going to have choice. You're going to have the opportunity to pick where you want to go and what would be the best way for you to express. To me, it always feels like when somebody's in this kind of a situation that they're at a very significant point in life where they're going to be given an opportunity, but they've got to allow it to happen. And the allowance comes from letting go of anything that would limit that possibility of coming into being. So as much
I love
as
your
you
faith.
Can,
I love your well, faith, and I know that I'm lacking a bit in it,
okay,
but
well,
I still have a...
It's funny you brought the word faith, because this gets right into what I've been talking about. In my book, which is called The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression, I use the word faith, and I use it as an acronym. And the word faith is spelled F-A-I-T-H, and it's the acronym
right.
for fully allow it to happen.
Oh, that's good.
And it basically means get out of your own way. Don't limit yourself to what you think is possible. Allow yourself to understand that everything is possible. And just see what happens.
I love your acronym. I used to write acronyms when I was young.
Did you?
So I love that. I love that acronym. Fully allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Jim.
Thank you.
I do enjoy David's
in.
Programs. Yeah, I do enjoy David's programs, so I do listen frequently. Thank you, and Happy New Year to you too, Jim.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Well, Deanna, thank you for calling in tonight. Please continue to listen, and I will keep you in my prayers, and perhaps Jim will talk about some more things that might be of benefit to you. So I'll say goodbye for now, and God bless.
God bless.
Okay. Thank you so much, dear. I love what you were saying about opening yourself to other possibilities and not limiting yourself by feelings of lack. And again, it comes back to the allowing thing that you were talking about earlier in the program. I really enjoyed what you had to say to Deanna.
Well, I think her question or her circumstances really get to the heart of what we've been talking about. And
mm-hmm.
that is that I don't want to say we're our own worst enemy, because I don't think we're our enemy. We actually want all the things that we are aspiring to achieve and experience in our lives, but we get in our way too much with our thinking and with our upbringing and thoughts and beliefs we hold. And we assume these in parentheses or in quotation marks, truths that we hold about ourselves that aren't. And we allow them to stay in place without questioning them. And if we would just take the time to say, is this really true? And if I believe it's true, why do I believe it's true? Where's the evidence that shows that this is true? And I don't mean just true during one particular episode of life, because we have all kinds of experiences, and we can say, well, this happened to me 20 years ago. Well, because it happened 20 years ago doesn't mean that that's going to be the same thing that's going to happen every time I might do whatever that was. It means that's what happened that time 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, is why I look at life as being nothing more than experiences. We change in every moment. People around us change in every moment. The dynamics between us and every other person around us changes. Our circumstances change. So when you don't have the same dynamics, you're probably not going to have the same experience. And I just think that that's another way that we can look at life. It's a very dynamic environment that we live in, and constantly changing, whether we want it to or not. We have no
mm-hmm.
control. Well, we have no control over the fact that it's going to change, but we do have some say in how it changes, because we
mm-hmm.
can create the experiences that we want to have, as opposed to just having to contend with those that show up.
Let's talk a little bit about creating the experiences that we want to have. I mean, we have been addressing that here and there, but let's talk some more about that.
Okay. Do you have a specific question around that?
No, I just wondered if you'd address that in general.
Okay, in terms of, I'm trying to get some clarification, in terms of how we create our own experiences, or are you asking, is there a process we can go through to be more deliberate?
Yes, that's exactly.
all of that. Yeah, that's the $60 million question. I'm going to get back to. I'm going to give your listeners a crash course in the seven keys to life mastery, and it's kind of an interesting perspective, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but it'll kind of get into what you're talking about. And it worked out this way, and I can't tell you how or why, but it just did. But there's seven keys to life mastery. The first one is, and it's A, B, C, D, E, F, G. The first one is awareness. Become aware of who you are, what you're capable of, what's happening around you, what's happening within you. Become aware of the connection between your thoughts and beliefs and the experiences that you are having within life, because it is a direct correlation. So become aware of that. B is believe. You've got to believe everything is possible. You have to also believe in the power of your beliefs, because that's what's creating your life experiences. So the B is belief. Believe in the power of your thoughts. Believe in the power of your experiences. Believe in the power of possibility. And when we believe everything is possible, it is. C is clarity. And that is clarity not only on the experiences that we desire to have, but it's clarity on who we are. And that's key. And it's clarity on recognizing that we are, in fact, the creator of our own lives. And I know a lot of people, especially in religious contexts, they don't like that thought. But yet, what I'm speaking of has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with the way I don't even know how to put this into words. Well, being the creator just means that we are creating our life experiences through the choices that we make, through the beliefs that we hold, and through the actions that we take. And as we become clear on that, as we make those decisions and those choices, we're actually creating ourselves. We're giving ourselves grander expression, and we're having the experience of ourselves through those choices that we make. So clarity is about that, but it's also about becoming clear and really understanding what experience do we truly want to have, as opposed to seeing what shows up and then having the experience of that. So it's being deliberate. After the C comes the D, and D is discernment. So after you become clear on what it is that you want, after you become clear on who you are and what you're capable of doing, you're going to be getting all kinds of information and ideas and thoughts. Well, we've got to know what choices to make that are in alignment with the experiences we desire to have. So that's where discernment comes in. So we have to be very discerning, making choices that are in alignment with what we truly want to experience. Now, we talked about mistakes before. I don't believe there are mistakes. We're going to make some decisions that perhaps aren't the ones that we think would be the best one to make, and yet they're going to give us an experience that still allows us to grow and expand into the full expression and truth of who we are. So, again, discernment is a key component to these seven keys. But I'm also going to say sometimes we're going to make a decision that might not be the one that we would look at and say, well, that would be the better decision to make. But yet we're still going to get an experience out of it that's going to be of benefit to us.
Mm-hmm.
So the E is engagement. This is jumping in with both feet. This is taking action. This is taking responsibility for your life. It's taking responsibility for the choices you make. It's taking responsibility for your thoughts and beliefs. All of those things that are a part of this process. It's basically being in charge of your own life, because you are the authority of your life. You always have the last say in what you do. Somebody can tell you what to do, but you're still making that final decision as to whether or not you want to do it. And yes, there's consequences, but you still are at that place where you have a choice you can make to do or not to do, to be or to be, whatever the case may be. So engaging fully in the process of your life, being fully engaged in your conscious awareness of the choices you have available to you, being consciously engaged in whatever it is that you want to create and experience in your life. And then the F is faith. And faith, again, the acronym for fully allow it to happen. This is really where we get to the point where We can do all the things that we can humanly do, and then it's allowing the process behind the scenes, the universe, if you will, God, whatever term, spirit, whatever term somebody wants to apply to it, to work in conjunction with us to make whatever it is that we are trying to experience actually happen. So it's a partnership. I actually wrote a blog post on it being like a franchise, that we have a franchise, and the franchise is us. And yet with us as the franchise, we have all the tools, we have all the marketing we need, we have all of the equipment we need. Everything's in this little box, which is us as the franchise. And that's what I'm saying here. Everything we need to do whatever it is we want to do, or everything we need to be who it is we're intended to be, is available to us. We just need to become more aware of it. We need to be more engaged in consciously choosing it. We need to allow it to happen. And by having faith that as we do what we are intended to do and can do, we have faith that the other part of the equation is going to be taken care of on our behalf, and then we get out of the way and fully allow it to happen. That's when it comes to be. And then we get to the G, and then we get to the G, and the G is gratitude. That's the gratitude for all of it. The gratitude for all the opportunities we have, all the opportunities we create, all the experiences we've had, good, bad, and different, all the people that are in our lives that are playing a role in our lives that actually allow us to live in full expression of who we truly are. Just as we live in the lives of other people, and our interaction with them is also providing them the opportunity to live in full expression of who they are. So there you have it, seven keys to life mastery. Obviously, I get into a lot more detail when it's a program, but that's the Cliff Notes version of it.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Would you like to talk any more about either of your books? The key to life, the seven keys that you just mentioned, do they derive from that book?
No. Well, I'm not going to say they're in the book, but they're not in the book as the seven keys to life mastery. But
okay.
All of those different items under each letter are in there in some shape or form. I put together
the seven keys to life mastery. I love the attitude of gratitude that you end on, because I find that that is such an important key for me to maintain a positive outlook on life. And if I want to be in a positive flow, I need to count my blessings. And that seems to be key in moving me forward and motivating me to continue to be open to the abundance that's available to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think that gets back to the point that you raised earlier about resistance. Because if we keep resisting and not allowing things to come into our lives that are showing up for some reason, I think a lot of people do continue to deny those things that are showing up for their benefit. And because it's showing up in a form that they don't recognize, or it's showing up in a form that maybe they didn't ask for, but yet it's still providing the opportunity they're truly looking for, we resist it. Instead of being grateful for what's showing up, looking at it, opening up the package, if you will, and seeing what's inside, and seeing what is it in here? What is it in here that's a benefit to me? A question that I would suggest people ask, and again, it's one that I use all the time. Anything that I share is what I do personally. I don't necessarily say you should try this and this if I don't do it, because to me that doesn't make any sense for me to speak on something that I don't have the experience of. So one of the things that I will do if I'm looking at, and let's just use a challenging situation as an example, because it's the one that we would probably have the most difficulty doing what I'm about to suggest. And that is, when something shows up, ask the question, what is it in me that this is so? What is it in me that this is so? Because somehow, some way, I've either created or co-created this situation, and I need to understand it. And when we understand that we are, in fact, the creator of it, we can change it, because we can only change those things that we create. So if I recognize that there is something in here for me, or there's something in here about me that brought this into my life or brought it into my experience right now, well, then I can look at it and get to the core of it. And usually there's a fear involved, a fear of something, and I can address it. Or it's a limiting belief in some form that I can address and move beyond much more quickly. Now, a lot of people might listen to this and think, well, that's too much analysis that has to go on. Well, it's not. I don't consciously think about these things all day long. It becomes a way of being. And so you just kind of think about, well, wait a minute, what's this about? Why did I do this? It's not about consciously thinking about everything that's happening in your life, because you've got to allow it to flow. But you get into that state of being that is very comfortable and peaceful, and you don't allow the bumps and all the other things to happen to knock you off course. You just recognize it's part of the trip.
Well, you mentioned the word fear again, and I was thinking about some of your acronyms. I've got a great one for fear, and that's false evidence appearing real. And I think that's something that people might want to take a look at. It may seem like it's real, but it's only real if you allow it to be. And it's important to move towards faith.
Yeah, there's another another tongue-in-cheek acronym for fear, and that's forget everything and run.
Yeah, I've heard face everything and recover is another one.
Yeah.
There's some good ones out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, we have reached the end of the hour, but we certainly can spend a little more time if you'd like to talk about your books. I'd love to give you that opportunity, and I appreciate your spending so much time with Deanna and answering some of the questions that I've had along the way.
Sure. No, my pleasure. Well, my books are fully available. They can be ordered on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and you can either write my name in, but if you put Jim Phillips in, write The Key to Life, because there's a Jim Phillips who is a world famous skateboard artist and poster artist who does remarkable work, and he's all over the place. So he will always show up first if you just type in Jim Phillips. But if you type in Jim Phillips, The Key to Life, my books will show up. So you can order them there. Or if someone wants a signed copy, they can go to my website, which is www.prosperitybydesign.com, and they can go there, and there's a section with my books, and they can purchase the book through my website. And as long as they're living in the United States or within the continental United States, I can send them the book signed. But if it gets outside the borders of the country, the shipping costs are just prohibitive. It's ridiculous how much it costs for me as an individual to try to ship it somewhere. So that's available. And then also they're available as e-books. If anybody would prefer to have that, they can download it into their Kindle or to their iPad or any kind of tablet they might have. And that's also available through my website. And then I would love for people to sign up and receive my blog. I write a weekly blog that pertains to questions that I'm asked from a lot of the folks who read my blog. And I also write experiences that I have, but also that are experiences experiences of my coaching clients. I don't name anybody, but I will talk about some things they go through that I think are general enough experiences that would benefit others, because we all have similar experiences. And on occasion, there'll be one that's really kind of out there that I want to share, because it just shows the extent to which we have these experiences, but yet we're strong enough and powerful enough and creative enough to move beyond these experiences that many would look at and say that there's no way I could possibly do that. And yet we can, and we do. Mm-hmm. So I would invite people to sign up and receive my blog on a regular basis, and other stuff that I do too. I do all kinds of free downloads all the time, and I'm going to start doing more live events, so there would also be the release of that information, of new events coming up and programs and that sort of thing.
Beautiful. Well, Jim, thank you for joining me again tonight.
It was my pleasure. I always enjoy being on your show. I love the questions that you ask. You really get me to think deeply about a lot of the things that I write about. And any time that I can verbalize them, it helps me take it in even deeper into myself. So there's a true benefit to that. So I appreciate that. And I certainly appreciate Deanna being on the call and asking her question as well.
Well, back at you, I have found some more clarification for myself around some ways that may be a little bit limited for me in my own thinking. And so I thank you for helping me expand my own consciousness. And I hope that those people that have listened to this live will go back and listen to the podcast, because it will be available later on tonight. And there's a lot of food for thought in here. And it bears listening to a second time. So once again, I thank you, and I hope that you have a beautiful evening.
Thank you very much, and you as well. Thanks, David.
So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be or allow it to be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.